Welcome to Lesbians Who Write with Claire Lydon and T.B. Markinson. Conversations about writing and lesbian fiction. Join us as we draw back the curtain on the writer's life. Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Lesbians Who Write with me, Claire Lydon, and T.B. Markinson. Hello, T.B. How are you today?
I am doing fantastic. How are you, Claire?
I'm doing very well. I've had a lot of technical snafus today, but I've just worked out that they're all user error, which is not a surprise. I do remember my friend who was our IT manager at the job I used to have where I was worked online, and he always used to say to me, have you turned it on and off again, Claire? Have you unplugged it? All those sort of things. And I'd go, oh, of course I have. It always turned out I hadn't. So, but hey, we are recording and the podcast will be out this week because I have resolved my technical issues. So are you pleased?
I am pleased. I'm glad the audio is working because, you know, for a podcast, audio is kind of important. But I love the fact that you lied to your IT people when you called, because I would do the exact same thing when I would call IT. They'd be like, well, have you rebooted? I'll be like, of course I have. I'm not an idiot as I'm rebooting it when I'm on the phone with them.
I think everyone does that, don't they? And the worst thing about it is that I wasn't even on the phone. He used to sit like one bank of desks over from me. So I'd used to shout at him and then he'd shout back and then I'd shout back and then he'd turn around and look at me and I'd go, I'm just rebooting.
No, at least mine was on the phone. And I used to have this one job where like my computer was kind of the most important computer at the office. And so when I had technical issues, they would be like, yeah, I'll be right there. It was pretty fun.
You had the most important computer. That's very exciting.
It sounds like my job was very highly paid and all that important, but it wasn't. But it's just the fact that what I actually did, the newspaper couldn't be printed the next day until I got my job done.
That sounds pretty damn important to me. Yes.
Yes, to a certain degree, but, you know, they didn't really pay me all that much. So we'll see.
That's newspapers. That's why they're going out of business. Anyway, but you know what's not going out of business? Books. We hope. Anyway, so
did he just curse us?
Yeah. No, I was touching my desk, which is made of solid wood.
I'm knocking my desk too.
Yeah, good. I'm sure the magic fairies won't let that happen, because they're who are in charge, clearly. So today we're going to be talking about what is your greatest joy and what is your greatest challenge being an independent author. So I'm looking forward to all of those lovely discussions that we're going to have in a bit. But first of all, we've got a new section, don't we, TB? Do you want to introduce it?
We do, now that we have 5 episodes already on the website. People are leaving comments, which we absolutely love.
We
really love comments, so please keep commenting on the website. So, Claire, this one's for you. Bonnie thinks you have a beautiful voice.
Well, thank you, Bonnie. I think you have a beautiful voice, too.
And she thinks I'm totally fun.
Yeah.
So, I heart Bonnie.
Yeah, I love Bonnie. Let's get Bonnie on.
We should. Yeah. Kathy thinks that we're great together, which is kind of fantastic news to hear, because it would really suck if we really did not have any kind of chemistry.
It kind of would, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Thank you, Kathy. And thank you.
It would be painful.
It would be painful, but it's not painful, is it, at all?
No.
We love getting together every week and chatting, chewing the fat about fiction and lesbians and lesbian fiction. That's the name of the show, kind of.
Who doesn't love to chew on a lesbian?
Yeah. I don't want to chew on a lesbian. Well, no. Anyway, I'm going to move on now. I'm really going to move on.
I have one final comment from Bethany, who thinks our banter together is great.
What about chewing on lesbians, Bethany? Did you think that was great? No, thank you, Bethany. Thank you, Kathy. And thank you to everybody who's commented, because we had a few others that we will get around to. But if you want to comment, do leave your comment on the website. We love to read them and you will get a shout out.
Yes, absolutely. We'll do our best to give you credit, because comments help us keep going. So it helps a lot.
It does. It does indeed. So let's talk about, before we get to the big burning topic of the week, what have you been up to this week, TB? What's been shaking in Massachusetts?
I know. I'm back in the US, which is I guess good news on some levels. But anyways, along work lines, it's actually been pretty good. I just recovered from some really hellacious deadlines. What month is this? I can't remember what month this is. We're in spring, I think. I had really heavy back-to-back deadlines, and right now I don't have a deadline in the upcoming month. So it's fantastic. I feel, you know, a sigh of relief, and I'm still writing, of course. And I have news on that front. I started a new writing project last week, so I'm continuing it this week.
Okay.
And it's going really well. And the good news, it's a project that's not so secret anymore. I think we can actually let the cat out of the bag. It's a project that you, Harper Bliss, and I are working on together. And we just did a scouting trip in the Cotswolds when I was back in the UK early in March.
We did. And I'm very much looking forward to your book coming out, because it's going to set the tone.
Yeah, my book's the first one for the publication schedule. No pressure.
No pressure.
Whatsoever. I'm not sure how that worked out. I think you guys set me up. But
We have complete faith in you, TB. That's the thing, you see. We knew you could carry this.
It's a fun project to work on because it's the first book of our actually setting in the UK. Because usually my characters are set in the US, so it's kind of a fun little twist for me. And not the books, they're not co-written per se, because we're crafting our own novels, but it's set in the same universe, so it's an exciting project.
It is, and that universe is the Cotswolds. So we're not going to be on a spaceship, don't worry. There's no planets, there's no dragons, and there's no wizards. So sorry if that's what you wanted. But
are there dragon ladies?
Well, I haven't written mine yet, so I don't know, maybe. But yeah, so our three books are going to be linked. They're going to have characters from TB's, might be a very side character in mine and vice versa, but they're all going to be drinking in the same pub and living in the same village.
Yes, yes. So there will be some drama. I'm thinking there'll be some drama.
Drama. That's
and love, first kisses. You know, all the good stuff in your romance.
Yeah, as we saw when we were in the Cotswolds, it was dramatastic, wasn't it?
It was. There was a lot going on for sure. It even snowed.
Yeah, we are being facetious, if you didn't pick that up. The Cotswolds is a very sleepy part of the UK. It's very picturesque and twee and just chocolate box. So I think that a load of lesbians landing in it and causing drama would be probably the biggest thing that's happened there for quite a while. So
yeah, you can pretty much go to the Cotswolds and just relax. It's one of those places where as soon as you arrive in one of those little cute villages, like, all the stress just melts from your shoulders. It's just a pleasant place to be.
Yeah. So what have you been doing otherwise, apart from getting this book underway?
I have announced, the listeners may not know this yet, but I also run a website called I Heart Lesfic. And right now I am organizing the next mega sale, which will happen in May, which hopefully will involve lots and lots of books at steeply discounted prices. So I have started that project, which is on my end a lot of work, but it's also it's a lot of fun work to work with all the authors and everything. Super exciting news on the personal front. Since I've mentioned in a previous episode that I really struggle with including more vegetables and such into my diet, I got a new Ninja. I had to replace my old Ninja because it was the British version and it doesn't work in my plugs in the US. And so now I am blitzing the shit out of all my veggies, so I'm increasing my veggie intake.
Well, if I'd have known all it took was to blitz the shit out of them, then I would have suggested that. What's a Ninja?
It's a kind of a high-powered blender where it makes smoothies or juices.
Oh, okay. I haven't
heard
of
a Ninja. Yeah, I got a new Ninja. So wow. Watch out, people. I'm just eating veggies like crazy now. What's going on on your side?
Well, quite a lot, actually. So I launched, since we last spoke, I've launched my latest book, You're My Kind.
Woohoo!
Which is a second chance romance set in Bristol and Bath. Somewhat inspired to be set there because of our trip to Elcon, the lesbian fiction conference last year. But also because I used to live in Bristol and Bath, so I know it. And I haven't set anything there before, so I thought I would. So, so I launched that. And so that's cool. That's out in the world, giving people hugs as we speak.
And it's doing quite well for from the last time I looked at the charts. Congratulations.
It's doing all right. It's doing all right. So that's very pleasing. Pleasing.
So British of you right there. So British.
It's doing all right. It's very pleasing with all the reviews coming in. Most of them have had smiley. If they did have smiley faces, maybe that's what we should suggest to Amazon. They should have emoji heart eyes on reviews. But yeah, so that's pretty good. And I've been reading another book by Anna Lana, who is going to be on my other podcast. So I've got another podcast on the Lesbian Lounge platform, which is called the Lesbian Book Club, where I interview authors about their latest book. So I'll be interviewing Anna next week for the April podcast. I've had a couple of months off that, just writing books and launching this one, but I am getting back to it. So just in case anyone's listening and was thinking, where's the Claire's other podcast? I haven't abandoned it. I've also been audio proofing London, actually. So I've been walking around. I've done a lot of steps this week, but that's been really good. And the narrator has done a fine job. I've only noticed two mistakes in the whole book. So I'm pretty pleased with that. Hopefully that won't take a long to iron out, and then I can get that one, that audiobook up. And I know it's a lot, isn't it? And I'm resourcing myself with my diatribe. I'm going to get my hair cut after this. I've been to the chiropodist. Yeah, I know. And
what is that?
Oh, it's feet. What do you call it?
Oh, podiatrist.
Podiatrist. Yes.
That whole American Brit thing.
Yes, yes. So I went to see her, and I've been going to her for like 18 years. So it's a long relationship, longer than the relationship I have with my wife.
Oh, there you go. Competition.
So we get on very well, and we always have a right old chat. And then I went to see Little Miss Sunshine the musical yesterday in Dalston, which I took you to, didn't I? Dalston Junction, do you remember? When you were in the UK in March?
Yes, I believe so. Yes.
So I went to see that. It's like it's a really nice theatre called the Arcola Theatre, and it's a fringe venue, but it was. Yes. But I vaguely remember the film. I still don't quite remember if I've seen it, but I was. As soon as I see a movie, I forget it. It's just what happens. But the musical was brilliant and the cast were awesome. So that was really nice. So I did that. And I went to a diner just beforehand where there was free refills of coffee. So yesterday... Oh, that's my phone. Sorry. So yesterday was a pretty good day. That's my phone actually telling me that I haven't won the Hamilton lottery again. I enter the Hamilton lottery every day because I do love a musical. I'm not to be deterred. I'm going to carry on entering.
I'm going to send you some positive thinking so you can win some tickets. Now, when you say free coffee at the diner, are you talking about the person who just wanders around and refills your coffee?
Yes. And it's actually the only reason I went to this, because it's called the Dalston Diner and it's right by Dalston Junction.
I remember you mentioning to me that you love that function and you were so upset with me because now that I'm back in the US, I have three diners within like a half mile distance, but I don't drink coffee. And you said that was a waste.
You're a disappointing American sometimes, frankly.
Sometimes. Yeah. I guess that's good.
Only sometimes. But, you know, with the coffee drinking, like, you know, I think I got my love of it from, you know, old American movies and the Gilmore Girls, frankly. And I want to go to the Luke's Diner and have my coffee refilled. And they had to actually make me a whole jug of coffee because it's not a very common thing in the UK. And I was very excited. It was very nice coffee. There are nicer places to eat around there, but I just went for the coffee.
There you go. And is it decent coffee?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, the next time I go to a diner, which is probably going to be next week, I'll think of you when I'm not getting my coffee refill because I can't stand coffee. Mm. I really just will spit it out.
Oh my God.
Coffee and veggies. So I have issues.
Maybe you need to put your coffee in a ninja and then it'll be just all right. Split it. Yeah. With some, you should try asparagus and coffee blitz together.
Oh, that sounds like a winning combination.
Tune back in next week, everyone. Right. So, do you want to get on to the big question?
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Are we talking joys first or are we talking challenges?
Whatever you want. Hit me with whatever you want.
I'm gonna jump into my very first joy. That about being an indie author or just being an author at all. And the first one is being my own boss. That was a big deal to me because I've always, the jobs I've had in the past, I've always enjoyed them. I've always sought out jobs that I would find challenging and would allow me to use my brain and everything. I like to figure out puzzles and such. But my managers at all of these jobs, they were just really not very bright people. I don't understand how people who aren't very smart get promoted to managerial positions. And so that was always a frustration for me. Mm-hmm. And my very last office job I had, my manager and I, we did not get along at all. We sat about 5 feet away from each other, and the only form of communication we would do was email. We couldn't even talk to each other, even if we just passed each other at the water cooler. Hated each other. Mm. It was such not a good situation. After I moved to the UK and decided to just throw it all in, I chucked it all into the writing. I love being my own boss. Now, though, I am understanding why managers can be kind of stupid, because there's a lot of things you have to manage and there's things you forget. And sometimes I do scream at my own stupidity, but it's at least my stupidity and I can address it much more quickly.
So now you're just screaming at yourself. Is that right?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. That's always good.
Yeah, I have a good scream in the morning in the mirror.
You know, it's a great way to start the day. I had a little scream earlier, but because I'm trying to get tickets to the Tottenham Hotspur versus Manchester City European game.
And how much time each day do you spend trying to get Hamilton tickets or football tickets?
Quite a long time, actually. because today I was on the phone on hold to Tottenham for 35 minutes, and then as soon as I got connected, my cheekbone hit something on my phone and made it cut out. So then I had to call back again. It took me another 40 minutes. So, you know, that was an hour of my morning this morning trying to get Tottenham tickets. I didn't get them because they're not on sale yet, so that was worthwhile.
All of that effort and they're not even on sale?
No, not on sale
yet. That seems like the first thing you would check.
Well, it wasn't on sale to my level of membership, but there you go.
Aren't our teams playing each other this weekend?
Yes, they are. 4:30 Sunday. Ooh. Liverpool versus
Tottenham.
So you
ready
Tottenham.
To lose?
Well, you know, it is at Anfield, and I don't think Liverpool have lost at Anfield for forever, have they?
Now that I'm over here, I don't really watch. I just follow the scores online because I don't want to get up that early.
Do you think we've just lost a huge chunk of the audience by talking about football for at least 2 minutes? So being your own boss is your first joy. Do you have another one?
I do, and this one's kind of a bit touchy-feely. I really enjoy being able to touch people's lives with my writing.
You should write a song.
I should first sound the song, but we'll really lose the audience. We'll really lose them now. But no, I mean, the funny thing is, like, when I first started writing, my very first novel was included lesbian characters, and it wasn't like I set out to write lesbian fiction. This is going to sound odd. Like, I didn't even consider it. It was this, here's the shocking news for the day besides the whole football snafu. Mm-hmm. I'm a lesbian. And so when I started writing characters, I started writing about lesbians because I know a lot about them. Well, some of my exes would disagree with that, but that's a whole different story.
That's another podcast. I'm going to be recording that one right after this.
But it's fantastic. After I started publishing it, I started getting emails from people like how much they appreciated the fact that they were seeing representation in books and such like that. And it seems ridiculous now that I didn't factor that into my decision when I first started writing, but it was just a total positive and a plus to publishing what I wanted to write.
Now, I was going to say, do you get a lot of emails from people sort of telling you this? How do you know?
I do. I receive quite a few emails each week saying, you know, thank you for writing the stories. I can kind of see myself in some of the characters, or I struggled coming out at certain times or stuff like that. And I get even more personal comments from people who aren't quite out yet. So it's one of those things where I get all the different spectrum of people in their coming out process, from the beginning stages to they came out 30 years ago and such like that. Mm-hmm. But they can still relate to the characters, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yes.
Have you got another one?
I have one final joy.
One more.
And it's fulfilling my childhood dream. I always wanted to be a writer since I was 11 years old. And the fact that I actually am not only writing, but supporting myself through my writing, it's one of those things where I still kind of have to stop myself and think, wow, I actually did it. So.
You did. You did it. Let's all have a round of applause for TB.
Lots of songs.
It does. You did make me actually sort of, you know, heat up a little bit there, like with sort of a slushy. Oh, that's nice. That is nice. Aww. And they are all very good reasons to keep going, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
On those mornings where I'm like, oh, do I really want to get out of bed? Then I'm like, you know what? I'm not at least screaming an email at that one boss anymore.
Exactly. And you know what? You can just write in bed so you don't have to get out of bed. Do we like?
I have done that on a few occasions.
Do you know, I've never done that. Never. I don't like, it's going to sound like I'm going somewhere else, but I only like to do certain things in bed. And it's not working, and it's not eating or drinking. None of those things happen in my bed.
So, can I keep guessing?
Yeah. Again, that's another podcast. But yeah, I'm not one of those people who can, just get up and work in their pajamas, or not that I've got any pajamas, so that's probably why. No,
wait,
I can't.
You don't have pajamas?
No. So I'm not the sort of person who does that. I have to get up, I have to shower, get dressed, feel like I'm ready for the day.
No, I'm not. I work in pajamas all day and I don't shower until the end of the night.
There you go. See, it wouldn't do to be all the same, would it? We should definitely do a podcast on our daily routine. That would be interesting.
Do you want to talk about your joys, or do you want me to dive right in the challenges?
I think my joys are fairly similar to yours, really. I would say, yeah, freedom. So that's like being your own boss, isn't it? And like I said, like for instance, this week I went to see a musical. I went to see my parents. All those things, freedom to do that, because I'd been working like a dog for the last, you know, three weeks.
Why did we do that to each other? Like. We both have been struggling with these editing deadlines.
Yeah. So, but, you know, it's done. So I do feel a sense of accomplishment. And, yeah, I think my joys are fairly similar to yours, getting feedback from readers. And I think the last one I had was actually I didn't ever think I would be a novelist. I always thought I'd be a writer, but a journalist. And I was for quite a few years.
Yeah.
But it still amazes me that these stories are coming out of me because I think, I don't know who it was, but somebody told me I was a really good journalist, but I wouldn't be a very good fiction writer. I don't know who it was.
Oh, ouch.
And I kind of, you know, those things that you take in and you believe and then they become a story that you tell yourself. I told myself that for quite a long time until I didn't. And now I can see myself, I can see my books improving. And I'm always learning new things, and that's quite exciting. So, you know, it's quite cool to have just pushed out my 12th novel. So in your face, whoever told me that.
Some people, you know, they make these comments, and I don't think they realize just how destructive they actually can be.
Mm.
And you have to wonder, if they're saying that to you, what are they telling themselves? How much are they holding themselves back?
You know what? That is a very good point. Yeah, it's true. So it's just the story that they're telling themselves, and then they're projecting onto me.
Yes.
But I managed to break out the shackles, break free. Shall I tell you my challenges? Because they might be the same as yours. I don't know. I think the biggest challenge probably is one of them, is people's reaction to writing lesbian romance. They always think you're writing porn. I don't know if you agree with that, but quite often I've been asked by friends, by family, when am I going to write a real book?
Oh, ouch.
You know, one without lesbians in. That's not my world. My world's pretty real and has quite a lot of lesbians. So I always tell them that. Conversely, though, like I think I've talked about this on episode 4. I've hired a personal trainer recently. She's an avid reader and she is she's a straight woman. But I was telling her what I do and she bought my first one in my London series, and then she's already bought the next one, and she just loves reading. So actually, there's no reason, you know, as we've said before, why anybody can't read lesbian romance. I read straight romance, so why can't anybody read lesbian romance? And so conversely, there is that as well. You know, just people who are like, oh, I like reading, I'll read your books. There's always a counterbalance. However, I do think that people's immediate reaction when you say the word lesbian is to think of sex. And, you know, as I always say, while there are sex scenes in my book, it's not an erotic novel. It's a novel. So I think more and more people, because it's not known as much, and traditional publishers don't publish lesbian romance as a rule, the wider public have never really heard of it, and that's their initial reaction. So I'm always up for talking about it, and I always put people right in the nicest possible way. But I think that there's always that, oh God, have I got to do this again? It's like a never rolling coming out process, isn't it?
It is. Even if you just mention you're a writer, like, people automatically start asking, well, do you make money doing that? Or what's your process like? And it's not like when I meet an accountant, I'm like, oh, can you support yourself doing that?
Yeah.
Like, and so sometimes when I just am not in the mood, when people ask what I do, I'm like, as little as possible, and just kind of go on to something else. Because I do get tired of having to defend my career choices.
Yeah. Have you ever made up a job and just said you don't do?
I don't make up job, but I'll usually say one of my previous jobs that sounds really boring, but I actually really liked it. Mm-hmm. But then I'll just say that, and it's a conversation stopper.
So saying you write lesbian romance normally.
See, I get more questions when I say I write lesbian romance. And I also write lesbian erotica, which many people do think is just porn. Well, I'm like, well, it's erotic romance. And so, yeah, there's more sex involved, but there's actually... there's a lot more to it. It's not just, you know, hey, my name's such and such, let's start having sex.
Is it not? Well, I'm disappointed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Don't read Girl Love Happens.
Okay. Too much story. Where's the sex?
I know. I'm sorry. Their connection. I, you got to build it.
Yeah. So, I think... that is the number one. It's irksome just carrying on.
Yeah.
And I think, as we said in episode 4 as well, another big challenge is keeping physically and mentally healthy.
Yes.
And just staying on top of that, which I'm doing like a boss at the moment. Went to the gym this morning, did a run and did some weights. So I'm feeling
all right.
Herculean today.
Wow. There's a word.
I know. It's not one I've used in a lesbian romance recently, but maybe that's what I need to do.
Yeah, just drop those, sprinkle it throughout the manuscript. It'll just be a bestseller.
Yeah.
That's all that's needed.
What about you? Any challenges?
Well, one of my challenges you briefly just hit on, mine was work-life balance, which one of the things is a challenge when you do start working for yourself is you have to... Because when I went to a day job, I had a start time during the day and then an ending time. And then when I ended, my work was over for the day, and which is different when you work for yourself because there's always something that needs doing. And so I've had to learn to craft to-do lists each day, which I still do the night before I go to bed for my next – well, not before we go to bed, before I shut down for the night for the next day. And I've had to learn to – understand how much I can actually tackle in an average workday. So it's taken some years to master this, but so I'm trying to incorporate more healthy stuff with, you know, downtime, exercising more. I actually was very influenced by you when I was visiting the UK earlier this year. I was like, wow, she really does fit in exercise and eating right. And ever since I've gotten back to the US, I've started following your example.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. I'm glad.
I know it.
I'm glad to be a positive influence on your life.
Yeah, and I'm noticing that I've been happier. I've had more energy. I don't know if you're changing the listeners' lives, but you've changed mine.
Well, I don't know what to say to that. You've actually made me fall silent. Well, not really, but, you know, kind of. Listeners, if I have changed your life, or TB, in fact, has changed your life, do let us know. Please comment and tell us in the comments. You know, you can riff on the topic of this episode, like, what are your three biggest challenges and biggest joys in your life, or any of the questions we've asked previously. So I'm very pleased to hear that you're now more physically and mentally healthy. Hooray!
I'm trying. I know it's a daily thing, but yeah, since getting back, what, 2-3 weeks ago? I don't know. Time. I lose track of it. But I have been making positive steps each day, and it's really changing my whole mindset.
You see, you did rib me a little bit about eating so much lettuce. So are you now eating lettuce?
Well, in my ninja, I'm blitzing spinach and kale.
Okay.
So leafy greens, but not exactly lettuce. Yeah. But I am trying to increase that part.
Right. I just had a prawn and egg salad for lunch. So that was on a bed of lettuce.
There you go. See, you've really been a lot better about the leafy greens. And now, in my defense, though, when we used to go to the pub together, you did not touch anything. Well, no, you used to eat your peas with your fish and chips.
I had peas on my prawn and egg salad as well, because I'm British and we love a pea. yeah, no, that wasn't a high time for healthy eating and drinking. That used to be when we used to meet in the pub when you lived here. More fish and chips and 3 pints of lager, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So now that wouldn't happen. I'd have some lettuce and a Diet Coke.
Yes. And I've cut back on the drinking as well. So we both were on that same page.
Yeah.
So apparently we just need to live in different countries.
Yes. Anything else that is a challenge for you?
Oh, my other challenge that I was thinking about was editing. Now, this is kind of an odd one because it's a challenge, but it also is going to slip into the joy category. When I first started writing, when I first sent my book, A Woman Lost, to the editor, I was so nervous to hear from the editor. Like, each morning when I was checking my email, I would look at my email inbox through the cracks of my fingers, like kind of like a horror film. Like, I wanted to see her email there, but I was also terrified to see her email and what all the changes I would have to do and everything. And the very first couple editing projects, it's very humbling at process. You learn how much you need to learn, basically, as a writer, which now I've been doing this 4 or 5 years. Now I love the editing process. And it's very strange because I used to dread it so much, but now I love digging in and seeing how a project can change from, let's be honest, the first draft, people, if you are writers, it's no matter what, it's just not going to be great. It's your first draft. This is why you edit and this is why you go through other drafts. So I love to see the process of it changing from not so great to the best you can do. And it's a fantastic feeling.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah, editing, you see, I would say that I probably am in agreement with you. I'd say that I do think it's where the magic happens. But I haven't always felt like that. But I'm trying to reframe my thinking of it so that I embrace it a little more. Because I've got to do that soon, because I've got London Book 6 back from the editor, but I've just been putting it off.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you have to do that, though. Sometimes you need distance, because I'm one of those people, I'll read the comments from the editors and beta readers and such, and then I let it just percolate for a couple weeks until I dig back into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that, I mean, I put it off because I was launching You're My Kind, and also I've got to do this audiobook, so that's going to be done today. So maybe next week I'll dig into it, along with starting to write my Cotswolds romance book. So
woohoo! It's
all systems go on that. I've got two characters, and that's as much as I've got.
It's funny, we're all writing our projects around the same time.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
So we can commiserate with each other.
Yeah, totally. Cool. Well, do you have any other challenges that you want to bring up?
My other challenge was just having structured and unstructured time. Obviously, in past jobs, you had managers who set your daily goals and such, and now I have to be that person. So I have to not only be my manager, but I also have to be the employee. When I first started writing, I first moved to London, so there was a lot of firsts going on in my life where I just moved to this fantastic new country and I wanted to explore, and I kept putting writing off, and I had to learn that you can't do that. It's still a job. And even though I'm my boss, I still have to show up every day and do it. So I've had to balance the structured and unstructured time of my life.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think we will talk about daily structures in another podcast. But I think we should wrap it up now because the time is ticking on. And listeners, people have other things to do, frankly, that listen to us waffle on about stuff. Do you agree?
That's true. Well, unless we go back to what you do in bed.
We'll come back to that another time. The answer, of course, is sleep. Right. So that's all for this week. It's been terrific, as always, chatting with you. And I hope you've enjoyed it at home. and join in. That's a mix of tune and join. Join in next week when we will be discussing literary awards and literary festivals and what we think of them. I know. Suspense is killing you, isn't it? So we'll see you then. It's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
Thanks for listening to Lesbians Who Write. Listen in every week for more conversations on writing and lesbian fiction. And you can make sure you never miss an episode by signing up to our newsletter at lesbianswhowrite.com. Also, if you could take a moment to leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast, it would help more people to discover us. Thanks so much, and see you next time.